Power and patience. Power and patience. This is part of a series entitled The Center of My Life. And one of the things I find very strange today, we are a culture that focuses so much on the outside. We have money that is being spent in tremendous measure so that the gym membership continues. We have many books that are written about how to make ourselves look beautiful. We spend bukus of money on clothes, creams, and things that make our outside look the best they can. But many in our day and time fail to focus in on the beauty of the soul within. For that which lives within us is that which will endure. The outside, God has told us, is something that will fade. But do we focus in on making and seeing God design within us a beautiful soul? You know, years ago when I was a kid, we would, I still remember it. There was this gift that my mom and my father gave me at Christmas that was a rock collection. And it was a beautiful display of all of these different rocks and the different names. And I still remember one that just stood out to me. And I remember seeing them in different gift shops. But the, I think you call it the geode. How many of y'all have seen the geode before? When you look at it on the outside, in fact, if I just saw this laying around on the ground on the outside, I would think maybe that's like a piece of concrete. It's just trash. It's just nothing much to it because the outside is kind of rough looking. But when you open it up, it's filled with beautiful crystals, and some of these geodes even have precious gems and so many different beautiful things inside. And one of the things that comes to my mind is when God looks in our heart, what does he see? What beauty lives within the center of our lives? Because when we encounter others, what do they see inside us? What is the display of our heart to others? And what is the center of our life that is communicated to others when we encounter them? What lives at the center of your heart? What is at the core of your soul? Now, last week we looked at a scripture found in Romans, and we looked at this question. When Jesus is the center of our lives, what lives within us when Jesus is the center of our life? And we find this: we will be patient in affliction. We see in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, these are signs that Jesus and the Holy Spirit is alive and living within us. Paul encourages us as believers to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. If we have a soul that is beautiful within, if the center of our life is filled with the presence of Christ, we will be people that are filled with joy and filled with hope, but we will also be patient in affliction. And what is another way of saying affliction? Another word that comes to mind is suffering. Now, I want us to look at a few descriptions here about patience. Patience, the ability to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. The ability to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Does that sound like us on a good day? It is so challenging when things do not go, or that does not go the way we think it should. So much of what is inside comes out. But patience is the power of God's peace within in times of adversity. And I find it interesting, the word patience comes from the root word patient. And what is a patient? One that suffers. It's also described when someone is a patient in a hospital. Another way of describing a patient is one that is suffering, or one that is even a victim. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. In verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Who likes to suffer? None of us do. Who likes affliction? None of us do. But God makes it very clear to us that there is a pathway to hope, and it is paved in ways that we do not choose. It is a foundation, a path, that is filled with things that when they are spoken to us, we want to reject them with all that is within us. But I want you to look again at this series of verses, because clearly seen here is the pathway to power and the pathway to hope. What does it look like? Glory, to begin with, in verse 3. Glory. How could glory be associated with suffering? How could that be possible? How could glory and suffering walk hand in hand? And as I have shared many, many times, glory unto God from our lives is the willingness to let His plan live out within us. We can give no higher glory to God than following in obedience to why He placed us here. The purpose of why He formed and made us and placed us here, the highest glory we can give to Him is to walk out His plan for our lives. And then my thought would be, does His plan involve suffering? And it clearly involves suffering. The Bible is filled with examples to believers that we will endure trials and tribulations and suffering upon this earth. And if we try to condition this life in any different manner, we are opposing part of the reason and the forming that God wants to do in our lives here. Suffering has not come to destroy us. Suffering has come to make us stronger. Suffering has come to build a pathway to hope in our lives. And then what is the next element on that pathway to hope? And that is, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces, and what is that word? Perseverance. If we want to be people filled with hope, we must be people that are willing to persevere through the difficulty. If conditions are set up that cause us to cancel out our trust in God because we don't like what's going on, then hope will not live within us. If we will put our hope in God, if we will seek to glorify Him regardless of what comes our way, if we are willing to stand through the trials, through the sufferings, perseverance will arise and it will not grow weaker through the trial. Perseverance will get stronger through the trial. It's good to be able to stand and persevere. And the more you stand in the face of suffering and trial, the greater the perseverance will develop. And then verse 4, on that pathway to hope is perseverance produces character. What do we talk about? People fill their lives with looking on the outside. People are obsessed today with selfies and posting pictures of themselves to reach others and to receive likes, followers, affirmation. What? On what's on the outside. But what is on the outside is fading. And it's not that which builds character. In fact, if we're honest, when we see people that are all about themselves and all about the outside, we as people don't look at that as character. We may seek to emulate it because they seem to be getting the attention that we want. But it does not build true character. God wants us to be people that are beautiful souls, that we have beauty within. And right now, if you're looking at your phone, what are you looking at? What are we looking at? Is it the outside that we seek to emulate? Or is it the inside that really matters? We see this on that pathway. To hope is perseverance, brings character, and character produces hope. God does not give second-rate gifts in our lives. What God gives is solid and true, and is something that will not fail us. And look at this hope that he gives. Verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame. Someone would say, if you suffer, how shameful. What did you do wrong? Is God just getting back at you? You know, why are you having to endure all of this? Why do you have to persevere such a sorry storyline for your life? People say, how shameful that you're going through all of this. And then some would even think character built through trials is just a loser. Nothing could be further from the truth. And some would look at hope in God as something as foolish in this world. Because people want to see, they want to be able to manifest it right here and right now. And they look at those that have their hopes set for eternity as people that are foolish. But we see this. And the hope that comes through this path is a hope that will not be shameful. And hope does not put us to shame. It is not the fool that puts their hope in God. It is the wise. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The God's love comes to those that walk this path to hope. And God's love is not distant, but God's love is as intimate as it can be. His love is poured out through the Holy Spirit, not away from our lives, not just in the future, but in the present. His Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts. And here's the thing. As we go through trial, tribulation, suffering, are you being depleted or are you being strengthened? What is being created inside you through this pathway to hope? What beauty is God forming within you through these trials? Because God has promised through the trials and the tribulations, He will make you stronger. He will build within you the character not of self, the character not of this world, the character of His Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 12:12 again. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. And I just want to look at this word affliction for a little bit. It means, in one way, it means tribulation. It means, at times, a lasting suffering. Meaning something that doesn't go away. If we are in the days of the tribulation, or if we are at the beginning of the end of this earth, the tribulations that will come will consist in measure of greater trials, not lesser. And if we are there, we are granted through the strength of God who has set us here to be filled with His glory, we will be able to handle that which comes. Tribulation is a lasting suffering. It doesn't go away just because I want it to go away. And also affliction is trouble. You know what? I didn't ask for this suffering. I did nothing to have this come upon me. That's what affliction is. It's something, in many cases, that we did not sign up for, but it just showed up. Affliction also is seen as anguish. It is not something that is surface. It is not something that just pains the outside, but affliction can be emotional suffering and pain that persists in great measure, but God is able to create His beauty in us, no matter how heavy these emotional pains become. I think there are people that understand this in great, great measure, that suffer with emotional struggles, deep depression. For when you walk through deep depression and the presence of God shows up, the light of God in the midst of depression is extremely bright. Does it change the anguish? No. But it gives you the strength of God to endure through it. And to let the beauty of what God created you to be, to become. Remember, we are here not in an 8-week boot camp. We are here in every breath that we breathe upon this earth boot camp. There's no graduation day, George. And you know, I hear so many different stories about Army men, soldiers that want to be in the Rangers, right? Become Rangers. They go to Ranger school. Intense. Some of the strongest people you would ever meet are unable to get through that training. And they're strong, yet not everyone can get through it. This time on this earth is like Ranger school that never ends as we breathe. And that's okay. That's okay. Affliction is also seen as a burden, just being weighted down by the trial. Going through life with this weight upon us that, again, we didn't ask for. We did nothing for it to come, but what? It's here. So every day we wake up, that affliction is a burden. It is a weight upon us. But it is a weight that God has gifted us to manage in His wisdom. And it looks like this. As the burden intensifies, it reminds me to daily cast it upon Him. And it doesn't mean that it leaves our realm, but it is a management that God will equip us to obtain, and that is daily. God, it's yours. I give it to you. Give me strength. Create in me what you desire through this affliction that has come. Again, you did nothing wrong for it to come. But it's there. It's a burden. And then affliction is also seen as persecution. And there we go. God, all I'm trying to do is serve you. Why is this happening? It's persecution. The church is under persecution throughout the world. Some lose their life because of this persecution. Others lose the ability to make the choices that they want to make. But let me put it this way. It's more like this. It's discrediting who you are by defaming the one that you serve. It's lessening who you are because of the faith that you have in God. It is putting you in a category of being foolish when you know that it is God that lives in you that has elevated you to wisdom beyond the ability of man. But persecution will come. For some, even this day, their lives are at risk for proclaiming Jesus. And that affliction of persecution surrounds them every day. But it has not caused them to surrender their faith and their trust. And it has not lessened their hope. For their hope has intensified through the persecution because they understand that through it all, God is forming within them the beauty of His design for their soul. I don't care how hard you work at dressing up the outside. The outside's going to fade. Doesn't matter, again, how many anti-aging lotions that you apply to the surface. It's only going to do so much. Doesn't matter how great your plastic surgeon is. Things are still going to fade. But that which is within only gets better. Only gets better. And when we encounter people, if their focus and our focus is impressing with the outside, how shallow is that? But we all here know beautiful souls, for you are beautiful souls. And you know the strength that comes being around a beautiful soul. Affliction is also identified as pressure. Pressure. And this suffering is trying to make me be someone that I know God doesn't want me to be. This affliction, this suffering is trying to make me make decisions that deep in my soul I feel are not right. These sufferings are building emotions in me that are leading me to say things that I know that I will regret. Because it's pressure to be under affliction. But there is a directive and a leading that is seated in the love that God has for you, that regardless of the pressure of affliction, the power that is being poured out in you is the very power of God. The Holy Spirit is God's expression of His love for you, and His power is going to move you forward to do what God has placed you on this earth to do. Do you feel the affliction? Yes. We feel it because it is pressure upon us. But it is not greater than the forming pressure of the suffering and trials that God will use to create beauty within us. The geode sometimes is formed by volcanic activity. Pressure, intensity, struggle makes the beauty possible within. The same is true in our lives. For you have testimony of how God has held you through things that you didn't ask for. Pressures that came that you never sought. But you've seen God hold you and mold you and make you into a beautiful soul, though things around you were not beautiful. But you are a beautiful soul that is only going to get more beautiful as you continue to trust in God and walk that path of hope that is a power that God has placed within you. See, patience is power. Patience is power. Anyone can lash out. Weakness causes the curses to flow. Weakness causes the fists to fly. Weakness causes the hurtful response to live out in us. But the power of God brings forth patience that allows His will and His glory to live on in us. And not just in us, but through us to others. What is our first response when we encounter suffering or affliction? Our flesh will reject patience in times of tribulation. That's just how the fallen nature is. Patience, many times, is overcome by stress, even panic, or reliance on one's own strength. If I'm not very patient, then I need to look whose strength am I relying on. And let's just be honest. Some people are more mellow than others and can process patience a little bit easier just by the way that they're designed. However, just because we don't see impatience on the outside doesn't mean it's not living in great volume within. What do they call that? Passive aggression. Now, that's some heavy stuff. Because sometimes that hurts even worse. I think that, yeah. See, patience is the first response of the Holy Spirit in times of tribulation. The Holy Spirit shows up to trial, affliction, suffering, and provides more than adequate patience within. It's a fruit of the Spirit as well, right? If Christ is at the core of our soul, is that what we want? Is that what we want? Christ at the core of our soul. The light within. Isn't it amazing, George, Rochelle, that we have that opportunity to have a beautiful soul that is not dressed up in our good deeds? It's alive because His Spirit is within. If Christ is at the core of our soul, patience will pour in to guide us in times of affliction. See, again, we're weathered without through this thing called life. But we have His beauty within. Be joyful in hope. If Christ is within, His joy will be in us and His hope will be alive in us. That's His promise to us. If it's not there, we need to align our hearts closer to Him. We need that spiritual milk that we talked about last week. We need to be fed by His presence. The pouring in, we must be positioned for that to happen, right? Got to be positioned for that to happen. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. In Romans 12:12, faithful in prayer. What lives at the center of your heart? And I'm speaking to myself this morning as well. What is at the core of your soul? Because that's the eternal part. That's what's going to transcend the grave. And the soul that we have will be the deposit that God places within that new body one day that we will get. And even then, even though that body will be immortal, it's still going to focus in on what's within. Patience. The power of God's peace within in times of adversity. If we could bow this morning in prayer. And I ask if you're able today to stand to your feet as we enter in to this time of prayer. And right now, Lord Jesus, we cry out to the one that feels so distant to hope right now. That hopelessness has rolled in and it is formed in this heart the impossibility of change. It can't get better is what that spirit is saying. But Lord Jesus, we know that is contrary to your word, which is words of life, not words of death. So we pray in the name of Jesus, this path to hope for them. And let's unite our prayer this morning. And may God renew this in all of us. We pray that you be glorified in our lives right now, Lord Jesus. That we would bring you glory, God, for how we think, how we walk, and what we focus upon, the purposes and plans of why you placed us here. May they live out through your power in our steps and in our actions in the name of Jesus. We want hope, Lord, so we seek to glorify you with this thing called life that you've given us. And Father, we stand in the face of adversity. We stand in your strength in the struggle of the suffering. In the name of Jesus, we stand through it, through your power. And we pray to the one today that is bringing just blame to themselves. Lord, suffering comes, and many times through ways that we never asked for. We did nothing wrong, yet it appeared. And sometimes, God, we mess up and it comes. But you didn't bring it to destroy us, Lord. You brought it to make us strong and to help us be people that persevere. So we speak in the name of Jesus, perseverance in every heart, in every soul today, in the name of Jesus. Perseverance, God, powerful perseverance, pressing through, getting stronger, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we say, character of Christ, intensify in us, Lord. Though the character and the standards of this world are fading and turning deeper and deeper into, Lord, just evil, we say, character of Christ, arise in hearts and minds and lives in the beautiful soul today. And we say, hope. Hope, arise to stand and to know that this life is not the end all, but this life is only a vapor, a small part in all the beauty to come. And we say, Lord Jesus, your church is a church that is not touched by shame. For as we have trusted in you, Lord, no shame befalls us. Though men develop and think of ways to shame our faith, there is no shame in trust and faith in Jesus Christ. There is only glory in the name of Jesus. And we say, vessels formed and created by the hand of God, the beauty of God's love be poured out into you in the name of Jesus. A struggle comes, that double portion of the love of God be poured into your heart, into your mind, into that beautiful soul that God has given you through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you have been formed to be his temple. In Jesus' name.